Welcome to a very special episode of The Mashup.
A most special episode.
Yes, today we are debuting the Mashup Christmas Special.
It promises to be everything you'd want in a holiday special.
I do not promise that.
Yeah, well, probably fair. Fair. This is Mashup Monday.
I will say it's probably everything I would want.
Yes.
In a holiday special.
It's all about Patrick, even though it is. Like, maybe we should talk about where it came from.
Possibly.
Momentarily.
Yes.
So, a couple weeks ago, listeners probably know that we do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about Rent a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Which got us thinking about our love of musical theater.
Yes.
And we thought...
Theater in general. This is not a musical.
Why not a Christmas play? Which got me talking about my sixth grade play. Like, this is what ended my sort of path to stardom, was the play that I wrote, directed, and starred in as a sixth grader. So what we thought we'd do is let Patrick adapt the Alan Austin Christmas story, which,
mm-hmm.
quick synopsis.
Yes, go ahead.
Went something like this. There's a brother and a sister, and they really love Christmas. They love Christmas so much that they decide to kidnap Santa Claus,
mm-hmm.
so they can have Christmas all for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The elves put together a crack rescue team.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, sort of Marx Brothers-esque physical humor among the elves, and they rescue Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm pretty sure there was no moral in the story. Mm-hmm. I wrote it, so probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the night that it was to be staged, I started projectile vomiting, and I could not go on stage, and thus ended my theatrical career.
Wow. Over before it began.
Indeed.
It's almost like the opening, like, prologue of Pitch Perfect.
Had I seen Pitch Perfect,
okay.
I might know what you're talking about, but
okay.
Take your word for it.
Well, they go to the champions, and the lead girl starts projectile vomiting in the middle of their performance.
Huh. It's almost like they ripped a scene right out of my life.
Possibly.
Put it on the big stage.
I feel like at least like 8% of Pitch Perfect is your
is
life.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say at least 12.
That feels about... You haven't even seen it.
I'm just guessing.
So
I'd still say about 12.
So, but yeah, so that was the sort of outline you gave me.
Well, it is the play I wrote, and then you said that you would adapt it.
Adapted, yes.
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 So we'll see. I'm expecting big things.
It's a little different.
The brother was really good.
The brother and sister are still there.
Excellent.
The kidnapping of Santa is there.
The key part of the story, so it should be.
A crack team of elves is there.
Sounds like...
Santa is rescued at the end.
Sounds good to me.
All of those things are still...
What
there.
Could go wrong?
There's not as much Marx Brothers-esque comedy.
Well, it's hard to write.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect you to reach that. You're not an established playwright like myself.
That's true.
This is kind of your first time through.
Actually, I've written as many plays as you.
Well, now you have.
No. Actually, you're right. I've written one more play than you.
No, I wrote a third grade play, too. It was a puppet show that was a precursor to this. It was like a prequel to the sixth grade show.
You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me there was a prequel.
Well, you didn't ask.
Why would I ask?
I don't know. The prequel had an
Hey, Alan, is there a puppet prequel to your show? Because that's the kind of question that automatically leaps to people's thoughts.
I don't know why you didn't ask. It seems like the logical question to me.
It does. So, but yes, so...
It's best to do it with puppets first and then move on.
Oh, we could have done this as a puppet show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that would have been fantastic.
Great
radio. That would be fantastic.
So anyway, we've got a whole host of guest stars.
We do, yes. Oh, yes.
Today.
Well, because you can't put on a production of this caliber.
No.
Without some quality talent in the room.
No, indeed. So, as always, we have Kendra
playing
the board.
Yes.
Me.
Also playing several roles.
One.
Just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
How does she escape with one role and the rest of us are burdened with roles?
Because I figured giving Kendra more than that might incur the wrath of Kendra.
Oh, right. And maybe she could stay focused on the one.
I'm not sure
what you're talking
about. What? I said maybe she won't have the texture focus issue.
Mm.
No.
Just one. Just one.
I'll be texting. So, but yes.
No, okay. Because Richard only has one.
Richard only has one role?
Yes.
I do, but I'll play it well.
So Richard's here?
Well, at least Richard has a role.
Richard, Richard has not been typecast at all.
Not at all.
No.
No, no one has.
No, indeed.
Nah.
We've also got...
Goat?
House Coat. House Coat
is here, yes.
That's right.
Hi.
Pat McCamey.
Hello, House Coat.
Hi.
Who will be playing one of the featured roles in the
That's
play.
That's right. And we have Melissa Scroy.
Yes.
Yes.
Was I supposed to say that?
So do you want to describe, kind of set the play up? Because it is literally 80 pages long.
It is 21 pages long.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Double-faced.
Well, I would just point out that it's 21 pages long and about 8 of those pages given to you as the narrator. Can I have the spotlight, please?
Really?
Oh.
Really?
I wrote it and I get all the screen time.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. If you wanted more screen time, you could have spent some of the weekend writing it.
I spent my childhood writing it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I did.
So, But yes, I tried to incorporate like some of the mashup.
I can see that you've done that
into the show.
I appreciate the title page. Where
yes,
you describe it as the mashup, non-copyright infringing, completely protected as parody within budget Christmas special.
It feels like that's us.
That feels almost well, except for the non-copyright infringing.
No, we don't do that.
Part. That's what I meant.
We do not infringe copyright.
Never have, never will.
Never have, never will.
We believe in intellectual property rights.
That's right. We do.
Yes.
Particularly my intellectual property rights to this play.
Mine. It's actually mine. You adapt it. In fact, I think you owe me some kind of royalties.
I don't think I do.
Pretty sure that's how the business works. You can't just take my play, adapt it, and then not pay me.
Yeah. No, pretty much. You gave me your idea willingly on over the air.
I did not. I'd like to see that on paper.
You pretty sure we have it on tape.
All right.
Where you said.
Did Richard record it?
Here's the idea.
I think I'm in the clear.
Don't ask me those kind of questions.
Yes. Please. Please run with this.
Yeah, I didn't say royalty free.
Pretty much.
I said please run with it.
You did. I'm pretty sure
royalties.
You granted me carte blanche.
So anyway, what's the name of your play?
The name of my play is Krampus versus Santa Claus.
Wait, how do you say that?
Krampus.
Krampus.
Krampus. Yes.
I think it's just Krampus.
I like Krampus.
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 Is Krampus German? It kind of makes sense that
yes.
way.
Yes. Yeah. I believe he is a Krampus. German. There is a lot of Germanic background.
He's more Scottish.
Scottish.
Actually. Scottish.
Okay. Krampus is?
Indeed. A little bit of Irish.
Now, did you see the Krampus the movie, Housecoat?
Are you kidding?
Bobby loved it. It's one of his top 10 films. He actually got it for his birthday.
And you think I saw this? Why?
I worry about my son. Sometimes I worry about him.
Sometimes
he rock
well,
climbs, so he's
idiot.
In he's in
that's
the clear.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah,
it may be only the rock climbing that saves him.
Yeah,
saves him.
But yeah, so the
yes,
title
go.
Is Krampus versus Santa Claus.
Yes,
Dawn of Christmas.
Dawn of Christmas.
Yeah,
yeah, like so. Dawn of Justice.
Yes, thank you for explaining the joke.
Yeah.
Well,
nobody laughed, so I thought maybe...
It wasn't funny.
Thought,
well,
oh, whoa! Wow, not funny. So,
wow.
It's a tough crowd, but one suspects you kind
well,
of...
Well, it's a good thing there's no other jokes of that level in the play.
All right, so...
Yeah. It's a good thing I didn't write this whole play as a parody of superhero
like,
films, because...
If you could see inside Melissa's head right now,
yeah.
What she's saying is, there is no way this is ever getting posted.
Probably not.
No way.
Yeah, Melissa's like, what have I done?
That's right. I thought it was a real Christmas play.
More likely to be posted now.
It is a very Christmassy play.
Do you want to... Maybe we should start the prologue, because
okay.
It is a long, long...
It's not that long a prologue.
Pretty long.
Well, no, it's a long play, and I just feel like your
it's
prologue
20 pages.
Could
okay,
fill the
whatever.
Rest of the segment.
All right. Well, but I don't think we have... Yeah, we have like 20 seconds left.
That's all we have?
Yes, in this segment.
Well, there's no way we're going to get that prologue
so,
in there.
But yeah, so we will kick off with the prologue in the next segment.
It will be spectacular.
But is everyone excited for their play?
I'm excited.
Is everyone excited for their role?
Oh.
Excellent.
Yeah, we love plays. Woo!
And we'll be back with the mashup Christmas special in just a moment.
Yay, plays!
We now return to the mashup Christmas special.
Yay, it's a play!
Prologue.
Woohoo!
The time, some indeterminate period in the past.
Here we go.
Our scene opens on a winter-themed village street. Cozy-looking shops with bright, colorful Christmas displays line both sides of a main street covered with a light dusting of snow.
That's Christmas.
The street is busy, populated with various fantasy creatures, elves, fairies, centaurs, goblins, etc. Walking to and fro, in and out of shops, waving happily to each other, etc. The camera zooms in on the doorway of one shop as two figures, young Krampus's father and young Krampus, exit. Young Krampus's father wears a suit under a long winter coat and scarf.
Lord,
his exposed hands are covered in fur, as is his goat-like face. And he has goat-shaped legs and hooves resembling a satyr. Long horns extrude above and curve behind his head. Young Krampus wears a striped shirt, winter jacket, and short pants that reveal his similarly goat-like legs to be covered in fur like his exposed hands. He, too, has a goat-like face, though more youthful, and small horns just beginning to extrude.
Aww. Young Krampus.
Young Krampus's
He's
father bears
up.
Several large wrapped Christmas presents as they exit. The camera shifts to a nearby alley, where
wow.
we see Goblin dressed in a black coat and low-hanging black cap. He peers around the corner and sees young Krampus's father and young Krampus, who are smiling and laughing. Young Krampus's father tousles young Krampus's hair. As they pass, Goblin follows them. Young Krampus's
dun, dun, dun.
Father and young Krampus turn right into a deserted alley, followed by Goblin.
This sounds like Batman.
As they proceed, young Krampus's father becomes aware they are being followed and slows his walk. Young Krampus continues a few feet ahead before he realizes his father is behind him. Goblin approaches, brandishing a gun.
Give me those presents!
Dad?
Get behind me, son!
I said, give me those presents!
Young Krampus' father takes a step toward Goblin, who shoots young Krampus' father twice in the chest.
Oh.
Young Krampus' father falls backward.
Gunshot?
Bang, bang. Young Krampus' father falls backwards, spilling the presents around him. Young Krampus screams. And Goblin, terrified, runs off in slow motion. Close up, as young Krampus' father falls to the ground, his head turned to his left. Young Krampus falls to his knees in tears.
Let me hear the tears,
extreme
son.
Close up on young Krampus' father's eyes, reflected in which are the presents tumbling. The camera cuts to young Krampus still in tears, and then to a close-up of young Krampus' father, stretching out his hands towards the presents, gasping.
Christmas!
Young Krampus pauses in his weeping and looks at his father.
Christmas!
Young Krampus' father's hand slumps to the ground. He is dead. Young Krampus pauses in his weeping, though tears still stream down his face. Extreme close-up on his eyes, which turn blood red. He throws his head back in rage.
No!
End scene.
So reminiscent of Gotham.
It was so quality.
In case anybody missed it,
that was a good. I think it was
Birth
subtle.
Batman, right?
I think it was subtle in its references.
Is that a movie?
It was Zack Snyder.
Yes,
subtle. Is
that
what
is
it was.
What I was going for.
Whacking you over the head with a baseball bat.
That's right. All right, should we move on to scene one?
Well, there's a big part for you to read, so we should get going.
Yes, the time today, the setting. An ordinary suburban living room in Ohio.
Oh, I miss Ohio.
A large decorated Christmas tree stands stage left. Behind it and centered is a large fireplace lavishly decorated for Christmas. In front of the fireplace and opposite the tree is a large plush couch. In the rear corner of the room behind the couch is a door. At opening, Addie, a young girl of around 11, sits on the couch staring into her cell phone, typing occasionally.
Do you think you can pull that off, Kendra?
We hear pounding steps from outside the door.
That's her on the phone.
We hear pounding steps from outside the door before the door swings violently open, and Austin, a young boy of around 12, with dark hair that is beginning to resemble a mullet, enters, visibly enraged.
Time out. Time out. A mullet was perfectly acceptable in the 80s.
This is the time today.
He slams the
door shut as he speaks.
Apparently like a pirate. Arg!
It was not supposed to be like a top pirate.
But just, all you have here is arg.
It's just supposed to be anger.
Oh. Arg!
Not looking away from her phone, uninterested.
What's the matter this time?
Angrily, but also rather whiny.
That's Mom. She says if I don't shape up, I'm not going to get nothing for Christmas. I think it'd be better non-grammatical.
Thank you. Still not looking away from her phone, sarcastically.
That sounds so unfair.
I know.
Oblivious to the sarcasm.
She doesn't understand how much I love Christmas. It means more to me than anything. Why, I'd do anything. Anything. If it meant I got more presents for Christmas.
Anything?
Anything.
Suddenly, a bright blue light appears downstage. Before expanding into a large opening surrounded by blue coruscating light, Austin gasps.
Gasp.
Addie, having gone back to her phone, doesn't notice.
Boop, 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 boop.
After a moment, Krampus steps out of the portal. He wears a blood-red tunic crisscrossed with golden straps that secure a large pack to his back. His remaining exposed body is covered in thick black hair. His face is now both weathered and menacing.
He's a man now.
And his horns extrude above and behind his head. He brandishes a cat of nine tails in his hand. Throughout the first part of the scene, regardless of what important events might be happening, Addie remains focused on her cell phone. Krampus, as he leaps from the portal.
Did I hear a child being naughty?
I'm startled. What are you?
I am Krampus. I seek out and punish wicked children, so they cannot ruin Christmas. I've dedicated my life to protecting Christmas from the wicked, and I've sent some particularly wicked wickedness here.
There's no wicked here. But I know someone truly wicked. someone that could truly ruin Christmas for everyone.
Who? Tell me.
His name is Santa Claus.
At this, Addie turns, jumps from the couch, grabs Austin's arm, and pulls him aside.
What are you doing?
Don't
whispering.
You see? Sorry.
Don't. She was looking at her phone. Let's
well,
give her,
no,
let's
I
cut
was
her
looking at
slack.
The time because I'm trying to run the board. Yes.
Don't you see, sister? If I can trick this fool into kidnapping Santa for us, then we'd have all the presents, regardless of what Mom says.
And we'll be back to the Mashup Christmas Special.
Cliffhanger! Cliffhanger!
Sorry. I was hoping we'd get to the end of that scene. But I guess we won't.
We all hope for something.
Yes.
Yes.
So where are we picking up?
We'll pick up. Robert. We'll pick up with Don't You See Sister.
Don't You See Sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, all there's right. like 10 seconds left.
Oh.
What?
There's that 8 seconds, actually. No.
What?
You couldn't
we're not
made
done?
It. No.
I thought you were telling
done.
Me we were done.
We're done.
Oh, for crying out loud.
It's a play.
And we now return
play,
to the Mashup
play.
Christmas Special
we like
as
plays.
Austin develops his naughty plan.
Don't you see, sister? If I can trick this fool into kidnapping Santa, like I said last segment, for us, then we'd have all the presents regardless of what Mom says.
Skeptical.
I don't know, brother. This seems a bit wrong.
But Mom has the power to deny us all the presents. You don't need to read it, the passionately, because I got it.
Okay.
I'm good. If we believe there is even a 1% chance that she is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty, just like Batman would. And we must kidnap Santa Claus.
Turning to Krampus.
Here's the deal, Krampus. We'll tell you where to find the wicked Claus, and you'll bring him back here to us, where we'll hold him forever, or at least until we die, and everyone can have a Merry Christmas. Agreed?
Agreed. But we're gonna need some help.
End scene. Scene 2. The time. Still today. A little later.
Scene 2.
Setting. A dark, dank cave with long, looming stalactites hanging from the top of the cave. I looked that up.
Science
Another
lesson.
Portal opens, and Krampus, Austin, and Addie exit from it into the cave. Austin looks around their new location. Addie is preoccupied with her phone.
Welcome to my base of operations. Here, we shall summon a crack team to help us kidnap the villainous Santa Claus.
But what kind of people are we going to find to help us?
I want to build a team of some dangerous people who I think can do some good.
Villains?
The worst of the worst.
But where are you going to find them, Crampy?
Krampus. Let's just say.
It's improv, Patrick. It's all good.
Let's just say they put in a hole, and then the hole was thrown away.
Looking up for once from phone.
That doesn't make sense.
What?
A hole is a negative space. You can't throw away something that has no physical substance.
Annoyed.
Addie!
Be quiet! Krampus, don't step on my line, dude. I said, Addie, be quiet!
No! That's the kind of thing that sounds clever when you say it, but that actually makes absolutely no sense.
That's
It'd
good.
Be like
it's
if
good.
Batman and Superman suddenly became allies because, like, their moms had the same name or something. Or if all of Batman's villains were connected to the Wayne's murder somehow.
All three stand around, looking awkwardly. Austin coughs.
Anywho, let's get on with the summoning.
Anywho.
Krampus begins a weird, jerking gyration of his body and arms as light begins to coruscate around the center of the room before coalescing into a giant floating portal.
From the lowest depths, I summon the darkest creatures of this season. Come forth.
A blast of light surges from Krampus, and the portal above him bulges before four figures, two human, an anthropomorphized mouse, and a gigantic cat, fall from the portal into the cave. The first human figure is female, wearing a sickeningly pink dress with a large bulging skirt. She wears a tiara and carries a lollipop-shaped wand. The mouse stands on two legs, wears a crown, and is dressed in military regalia, carrying a sword. The second human figure is an old, withered man with wispy hair and a sour demeanor on his face.
I present to you our team. First among them, the Sugar Plum Fairy. Ruler of the Kingdom of Sweets and those cruel inflictor of childhood diabetes.
Would anyone like some candy?
Next, the Mouse King. Cruel tyrant of The Mouse Kingdom.
The Mouse King brandishes his sword.
Next, the Yule Cat.
Wow.
From Icelandic legend, workers who fail to process enough wool for new clothes will be devoured by this monstrous creature.
Is that true? Wow.
Yes, I looked it up on Wikipedia.
That's awesome. That's excellent. Nice, nice.
Gesturing towards the old man.
Thank you.
And finally, that most miserable of men, Ebenezer Scrooge.
I am not a man. I am Scrooge.
Oh. A little feminism mixed in there, but it ruined the whole Groot thing for you, didn't
it? Yeah, it just ruined the entire
disappointment.
I am Scrooge.
That's my team.
A little bit better.
That's it. Don't take this the wrong way, Krampus. But they seem kind of lame.
Well, they're the best I could do. All the good seasoned villains are still under copyright.
Oh, well, I guess they'll do. The Sugar Plum Fairy, Mouse King, Yule Cat, and Scrooge. Off to kidnap Santa Claus. Doesn't seem like a mission they'll survive. Makes them seem kind of like a...
No, more like a Santicide Squad.
Clever.
Count me in!
Wow.
Wait
I'm
for
trying.
It.
Wait, it's coming.
I am Scrooge.
Wow. End scene.
Already on scene three already.
Can you catch that one part?
Can you imagine?
Yes. The time. Later by roughly the time it would take a team of villains to travel to the North Pole and kidnap Santa Claus. Setting. The Operation Center for Santa's Elves, a.k.a. the Agents of Santa. The bridge of the center stands in the middle of the room with catwalks extending away from it to various computer terminals, etc. Elves man the terminals, walk to and fro along the catwalks delivering reports. All is clearly a bustle with the approach of the Christmas season. At the center of the bridge stands General Holiday, a taller than average elf.
General
wearing
Holiday?
Wearing a resplendent soldier outfit.
Sweet.
Black pants and boots, red tunic with golden shoulder epaulets and braiding across the front. He wears a tall black soldier's hat and is clearly in command. Suddenly,
quick
alarm
question.
Klaxons go off and red lights flash around the room.
Is the general riding a horse like you did when you played
no.
General Holiday back in your high school
no,
career?
No, because Rudolph is under copyright.
Oh, so you couldn't ride Rudolph.
Yeah.
Got
so
it.
Do you want to be General Holiday?
Can I?
Yes.
It's quite an honor.
I know. Go ahead.
What in the name of Kris Kringle is going on? Agent Coulson.
An elf in a black suit wearing sunglasses runs up to the bridge.
Yes, sir?
Report.
We've had a breach at Sector Zero, sir.
Sector Zero? But that's a...
Yes, sir. The Claus home, sir. Reports are sketchy, but it seems an unknown group was able to penetrate Sector Zero.
How?
That's unclear at this time, sir. It appears that some sort of portal opened up in the sector, and then a number of individuals came out of it, quickly dispatching the guards and then sealing off the area within what witnesses describe as a giant gumdrop.
I'm sorry. That was way too long an explanation. And then what happened, Coulson?
Well, do you want a comprehensive report, sir?
No.
That's not entirely known,
cut
sir.
To the chase.
When the gumdrop was breached, agents were attacked by an oversized mouse with a sword and a flying woman firing various candy-shaped projectiles.
Whoa, that sounds effects-laden and very, very, very expensive.
Yes. Yes, it does. Anywho, so by the time the area was secured, the invaders were gone, along with Mr. Claus.
Well, what about security? Wasn't Santa's personal bodyguard watching him?
Well, we may have a bit of a hiccup there.
A hiccup?
And we return to the mashup Christmas special as Agent Coulson explains what happened to General Holiday.
I better let him explain.
No, you skipped the hiccup. A hiccup?
I better let him explain. Richard!
Another elf walks towards and onto the bridge, his hat in his hand and head bent over, clearly ashamed.
Sorry, sir. I know I was supposed to be on duty, but I really wanted to see my mom, and I figured, what could happen?
You have got to be kidding me. Do you know how much damage you've caused because you wanted to see your mother? Why, that's the most selfish thing I've ever heard of this side of the Flash. Well done. Consider yourself suspended. Until further noted. Let me finish my line, Richard.
He doesn't have a line.
Richard slumps off, clearly embarrassed by his complete and utter failure.
Agent Coulson, any idea where these
kidnappers have gone.
Not as of yet, sir. But we are working on a way to trace the dark energy they used to manifest their portal and expect to have a location any second now.
Yeah, good, good, good. We'll need to put together a response team to go after him and retrieve Santa. Tell Tony, Steve, Natalie, and Bruce to suit up and assemble in the launch bay. Oh, I forgot Hawkeye. He can go,
Clint.
Too.
His name is Clint.
Because this is non-copyright infringing.
Thank you.
Meant Clint.
Are you sure you don't want anybody dressed in red? Are you sure about that last one, Sol? What if he loses control again?
I'm counting on it.
End scene. Scene 4. The Agents of Santa Launch Bay.
Santa.
An enormous sled, all black with jet engines protruding from the back, sits awaiting launch. The elves, Tony, in candy cane armor.
Oh, like a certain man. Maybe
Natalie, in a red and green jumpsuit, carrying candy cane batons.
Why red and green and not black?
Because it's Christmas.
Got it.
Clint, also in red and green and armed with a candy cane bow and arrow. Would you like me to explain that?
No, it sounds very intimidating.
And Bruce, dressed normally, stand at the base of their stealth sled's landing ramp, while Steve the elf, in a green, red, white costume with a snowflake in the center of his chest, stands atop it, facing them. Steve, holding a green and red striped shield with a snowflake in the center.
All right, we've got our orders. We will infiltrate the location where Santa's being held. Once there, our primary mission is to rescue him. If we are too late, Santa will be avenged. Let's go!
All of them climb into the ship. After a few seconds, Richard the incompetent elf sneaks into the bay.
I've got to try and make things right, for once. Sneak, sneak, sneak.
Richard the incompetent elf sneaks onto the stealth sled. The landing ramp closes, and the ship takes off.
I do not like where this is headed.
End scene.
It does not sound good.
Scene 5. The time, a little less than a stealth sled's travel time to the Krampus Cave. Setting, the Krampus Cave. To the right, Santa Claus is chained by his arm and leg, spread eagle to the wall. Sugar Plum Fairy stands beside him.
You have Santa spread eagle?
I do.
Okay.
Constantly conjuring sickeningly sweet treats and forcing him to eat them. Mouse King stands guard next to them while Yule Cat prowls near Santa Claus, occasionally swiping at him with a clawed paw.
Is that Claus A?
Oh, yeah, that's a typo.
Is that the Claus?
Austin stands a little distance from them, looking at Santa Claus with uncontrollable greed. Addie lounges on a couch, once again engrossed in her phone. Campus and Scrooge bend near each other, clearly in conversation.
Yes, yes, I know.
I am Scrooge.
Yes, of course.
I am Scrooge.
Oh, what is he yammering on and on and on about now?
I am Scrooge.
He's asking what's the next part of your plan.
The next part? Phase 1 is we kidnap Santa Claus. Phase 2 is...
Yes, phase 2
phase
is...
Phase 3 is presents.
You do realize his people are going to come for him eventually.
Which I trust you and your crack team of villains will handle.
Cut to Krampus Cave exterior, where the stealth sled lands just at the perimeter of the cave defenses. The landing ramp opens, and the elves, Steve, Tony, Natalie, Clint, and Bruce, disembark.
We're missing somebody.
This place is bound to have exterior defenses protecting the entrance. Let's swing around the back and try to find some other means of access.
Just pointing out that Steve's voice totally changed.
The team stealth, well, it's... a certain time in a young elf's age. The team stealthily goes off to the side. A few seconds later, Richard, the incompetent elf, steps off the landing ramp.
Where'd they go? Oh, well, this is my chance to prove I know what I'm doing.
Richard runs towards the cave entrance. Suddenly, alarms go off.
Oh.
Cut to Krampus Cave interior, with characters all as before. Suddenly, the same alarms go off.
Woo, 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 woo.
Looks like we've got company.
All exit.
Are you doing like a different voice for each line?
I think I have like 10 pulse now.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. You're our Swiss Army knife.
He's been
looks like we've got company.
Is that that one?
That's much better.
Okay,
that's
thank
more
you.
The original Krampus.
Yes. Okay. All exit except Santa Claus, who remains chained to the wall,
spread
and
eagle.
Addie, who remains on the couch perusing her phone. End scene. Scene 6.
Yeah, we're waiting on you.
Moments after the previous scene. Krampus Cave exterior. A large open plain. On the left and facing right, Krampus, Austin, Sugar Plum Fairy, Yule Cat, Mouse King, and Scrooge stand in a line. On the right, facing left, The elves, Steve, Tony, Natalie, Clinton, Bruce, stand in a line.
It's like Civil War on the tarmac.
The elves start walking left. Those on the other side start walking right.
Yeah.
Both sides gradually speed up until they are running right at each other.
Just like Civil War.
Sugar Plum Fairy flies up, as does Tony the Elf. The two sides clash, with Tony versus the Sugar Plum Fairy, Krampus versus Steve, Clint versus the Yule Cat,
Lord.
Natalie versus Mouse King, Bruce versus Scrooge, while Austin stands back and watches. Cut to Krampus Cave interior.
But everybody does understand that this is, like, Civil War, right?
Yes. No. Thank
From yeah. the movie.
Yeah.
Captain America Civil War.
Still
this
as before.
The scene being replayed.
Yeah.
Except Austin wimped out.
Well, no, he's just non-powered, and so doesn't really do anything.
Look, what can I do?
Yeah. Cut to Krampus.
Totally take on Clint.
Yeah.
Take
Cut
that
to... He's fighting the Yule Cat. Cut to Krampus Cave interior, still as before. Suddenly, Richard, the incompetent elf, falls into the room from a vent covered in dust. He picks himself up and dusts himself off. Addy appears not to notice.
Don't worry, Santa. I'm here to rescue you.
Richard, the incompetent elf, starts to run towards Santa, but trips over his own feet and falls to the floor, knocking himself unconscious.
Ouch.
Guess I have to take care of this myself.
Why does Santa sound like Krampus?
Are you Santa?
I don't know who Santa is, but you're doing Krampus for Santa. Wait. That's not right.
Guess I have to take care of this
no,
myself.
No, Santa's also not an elf. Pat, the elves are way up here, right? The high register. And Krampus is down here. Like, Santa's somewhere in the middle.
Guess I have to take care of this myself.
I think we found Santa.
Yeah, you really hit the pitch there. Santa Claus wiggles his nose and begins to disappear. Disappear.
Ho, ho.
Cut to Krampus Cave exterior, where the battle still rages, with no side gaining a real advantage. As Scrooge grapples with Bruce the Elf, his eyes glow fiercer and fiercer. Suddenly, he starts to grow to enormous size, and is surrounded by an aura of darkness. And we will return in just a moment.
We love plays.
And we now return to the climactic scene of the Mashup Christmas Special.
We're in the midst of battle.
Krampus Cave exterior, where the battle still rages, with no side gaining a real advantage. As Scrooge grapples with Bruce the Elf, his eyes glow fiercer and fiercer. Suddenly he starts to grow to enormous size and is surrounded by an aura of darkness.
I am Scrooge!
Scrooge starts to stomp around the battlefield, and everyone on both sides have to dodge out of his way.
Oh, boy.
Tony the Elf, flying in his candy cane armor, fires blasts at him, but ineffectually.
My blasts are having no effect on this miserable monster.
We could use something a little jolly here.
Uh-huh.
Bruce, I think it's time for you to get jolly.
That's my secret, Steve. I'm always jolly.
Bruce turns towards Scrooge and becomes a giant, hulking green monster with torn red pants. He leaps into the sky, propelling himself at Scrooge's chest and smashes into him, knocking him over. Bruce then continues pummeling him until Scrooge starts to break apart, until all that is left are tiny little black bits scattered across the battlefield. Suddenly, Santa Claus appears in the middle of the battlefield.
How?
Did he piddle?
He did not piddle. He appeared.
Santa wet himself.
Ho, ho, ho.
Krampus, seeing Santa Claus appear, launches himself at him.
No, I won't let you ruin everything.
Krampus knocks Santa Claus on his back and stands over him, pressing his foot down on Santa Claus's throat.
Krampus must be saved!
You're letting them kill Christmas.
Cut to flashback to earlier scene of young Krampus' father whispering Christmas as he lays on the ground.
What? What do you mean? Why did you say that name?
Pointing towards Austin.
Stop.
Stop him.
I'm reading the line, dude.
Are you Santa?
Yeah, he's Santa now.
We had to switch because we're talking back and forth.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, keep going.
Stop. Stop him. Save Christmas.
Cut to flashback to earlier extreme close-up on young Krampus's father's eyes as he whispers
saw Batman
Christmas
versus Superman
as he
dies.
Totally
wasted.
Why did you say that name, Christmas? Why did you say that name? Why did you say that name?
Running towards them.
Because it's his holiday's name. It's his holiday's name.
Not sure that tone had quite the right pitch for the moment, but whatever.
Elf, I'm an elf. What do you want?
Krampus takes his foot off of Santa Claus's throat, extends his hand, and pulls him up. all cease fighting.
You've been tricked by a very naughty little boy named Austin. I was never a threat to Christmas. Why, I am Father Christmas. It's what I was sworn to protect.
Krampus turns towards Austin and glares at him
menacingly. Wait a minute.
With a simmering growl. Austin begins to cower and shake in fear and piddle himself, realizing events have gotten out of his control.
I think so. Everybody's wet their pants.
Just you, actually.
Ho, ho, ho.
Santa.
Santa just did a minute ago. Oh, Santa. It seems to me I might have a job for you. Is that the right line?
Yes.
Okay. I can barely keep up with delivering presents to all the good girls and boys. And so perhaps the naughty ones are starting to get a little out of control. What do you say to us teaming up? You travel with me on Christmas Eve and punish the naughty, while I deliver presents to the good.
Turning back towards Santa.
I like that idea. I like it very much. And I know right where to get started.
Camera cuts to mid-range shot of Austin.
No!
Camera from Austin's perspective as Krampus stalks towards him. Screen goes black.
Are you going?
End scene.
Are you trying to copy young Krampus here?
That was a very long no.
I'm trying to get equal screen time with the narrator.
Epilogue. Setting. Austin and Addie's suburban living room on Christmas Eve. Camera pans to the Christmas tree, where we see a cell phone-shaped wrapped present with Addie on the tag.
Boop, boop, ba-doop, boop, boop,
boop. Camera pans left, and we see a lump of coal with a tag to Austin from Krampus.
I don't think I like the direction of this show.
Then we have the mid-credits scene.
Well, do we have time?
I think so.
Make time.
Or should we save it for the second? The last,
well, I feel we have to do some break. Like discussion of the play.
Sounds fair.
Yeah.
Right.
Krampus cave interior as before, with the unconscious Richard the incompetent elf still unconscious on the floor. He stirs.
Is anybody here? Did they forget about me?
End scene. Post-credit scene. Krampus cave exterior. The battlefield as before, still with little black bits of Scrooge scattered all around. Camera pans in until several of the bits are in frame. Suddenly, little red eyes open on each bit.
We are Scrooge!
End of play.
We love plays.
And there is the 2016 Mashup Christmas Special.
Now, before we move to the next break, we should thank what was an incredibly talented cast.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think from now on, we should call them the Mashup Regulars.
Yes. Or Irregulars.
Players. We could do that, too. The Mashup Players.
Mm. They're almost like a troupe.
The Mashup Troupe?
With a U and an E.
I will never be part
a troupe?
Of
a
troupe? They're a Misericordia Mashup Troupe.
I like the Mashup Players. Let's go with the Mashup Players.
Okay.
I think when you write the season-ending play next spring, we'll bring them back.
I don't know if I have as good of material to work with, because there's not really a good holiday at the end of spring.
I'm just hoping that Zack Snyder didn't listen, because that was almost word-for-word Batman
versus
Superman.
That's not. No. It's a parody. Completely protected by parody.
Is that true, Melissa? Is that how parody works?
I'm totally not sure if that falls under the copyright.
Yeah.
It's totally a parody.
Well, Melissa would be the expert.
Creative, so I really don't think there's any chance of any infringement.
Yep, see.
You would have to be close.
Did she say there's
the
no chance of infringement because nobody was listening?
Also that, too.
That's not what I
does that help? Is it like a tree in the forest?
Possibly.
It's
if a mashup play goes on Cougar Radio and nobody hears it.
Right, if copyright violation occurs on CougarRadio.net, nobody hears it.
Yes. You think so?
No.
Yeah, there's like three.
The podcast, much more serious bit of business. By the way, the next podcast will drop sometime tomorrow, and it will be the podcast Christmas special.
That's right.
Even more mashed up. It drops from the heavens, literally.
Okay.
Scroy doesn't really know the podcast lingo. Yeah.
The lingo. Yeah, it drops.
I don't get how it drops.
It's going to drop, and then it'll be the Christmas special.
It's like when a musician comes out with a new CD, they drop the new CD.
It's actually drop the new album, because usually they release CD, vinyl, and cassette now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you're still dropping it.
Yeah, but he said he specified CD.
Yeah, you drop a new CD.
You do drop a podcast. I'm pretty sure
you drop an album.
I want everyone to start brainstorming on the kinds of things that you drop.
Plates. This show?
Salad.
the hosts of this show?
The holiday turkey.
Our self-respect every time we go on the air?
Can that really drop any further?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I feel like that has dropped.
It's true. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Richard the incompetent elf.
Yeah.
Take my life as an example. Can always get worse.
But getting back to the podcast, just reminding people, available at iTunes.
Or podbean.com.
Just
search for even more Mashed Up.
That's right. And you will find us in all of our glory.
And it is a glorious glory.
And we'll be back in a moment.
And at least you didn't use it this
time. We love plays. I'm important. I've got big words.
And we're back with the post-game show on the Mashup Christmas special that you all just got done listening to.
I have to say, guaranteed to become the Christmas classic.
Yeah, do you think
like,
it's going to...
Twas the Night Before Christmas has been elbowed aside.
Has it? What about...
This is what people will read
what
to
What about the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No comparison. You know okay. what we need? Stop-motion version of this.
Oh, my God, that would be fantastic.
How good would that be?
Yes, we totally need that. Richard, get going.
Yeah, Kendra, can you get
I'm
on
not
that?
Sure if I could do that Excuse many me. Costume changes.
You don't need to. It's stop-motion. Yeah, you already got your voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Voices. Though, again, they did get a little confused kind at of, some yeah, point. Just,
okay.
There was a lot of voice swapping.
How many rows did you throw at me halfway through the show? You That's said fair. You had two rows, and then also I had 15.
So there's a couple complaints in the studio between yes. between segments. One is that Pat was overloaded with rolls.
But I felt he could handle
that
it.
I had maybe not as many.
Rich feels like he could have done more. Feels like he could have done more. And Melissa had a complaint, too, about the language.
You were able to be androgynous, right?
Right.
Yes.
That was difficult.
But didn't you have some script problems
as
well?
I have a real...
What's the script problem?
Well, the script problem is that
too smart.
If
too
you
smart.
Want to have total media domination, it's always useful to not exclude huge sections of the population with the words like klaxons.
Totally legit
or
word.
Or coruscate.
Look at me. I'm an English professor. I'm very smart.
That's what I'm
Look
trying
at me.
To say.
Look at me. I'm
when
smart.
I, when I get into my writerly mode, this is the kind of thing that I'm going to put in the book.
Protruding. There's a lot of like horns.
I thought you no. wanted
extruding.
To sell
extruding.
Yes. Extruding.
Didn't yes. you want to sell the
extrude. Extruding.
To someone other than you know another
extrude.
College professor.
We're working
in
on it, but
somewhere.
It's a battle.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
So
really,
it's a never ending battle.
Are these really comic book words?
Klaxon you would hear like
oh, Coruscate,
in science
you would,
fiction.
You,
I mean, no, was, not now.
In Thor. Come on, Thor, Fantastic Four. Really? There was some serious coruscating going on in the Kirby days.
The worst part was when Pat was coruscating. It was creepy.
What?
Did he coruscate earlier?
You know.
Twice.
Yeah, there was a lot of coruscating going on there.
I mean, it was his character.
No, there were lights that were coruscating around.
Right, yeah.
What does the word coruscate mean?
I'm not sure. It just sounded good.
Sort of
it's about like it's like lights kind of moving around in a circle.
I'm pretty sure it isn't it coruscated metal?
It's like that's corrugated.
Oh, close. Corrugated. I was close.
I think it's like lights going around
Are
in a circle.
Are you calling me a piece of corrugated metal?
Yeah. Corrugated, coruscated metal.
I don't think you understood my play.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody.
I totally understood the play. It was a quality play.
It was. I could appreciate the Superman versus Batman.
I thought you
it
would.
Might have been lost on a lot of the audience.
I don't think so.
And the cast.
I was going to say. I was going to say the cast being sort of the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Because I'm Scrooge, and I still feel that way.
Natural casting.
I feel like I missed out on not being Scrooge.
There was some typecasting here.
I didn't want to overwhelm you.
Right.
To flash will sparkle.
There you go. Yep. See?
So Kendra is currently texting, so clearly you picked a good role for her.
An email.
That's okay.
Right.
Okay, so
You're
that's better.
Right now.
Richard, not incompetent, so that was not typecasting at all.
No.
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 And I've only fallen
through
a
little
And Austin met times. A really unfair end.
I don't
I
think
felt
so.
Like, I felt like he was misunderstood through much of the show.
He seemed like a whiny little brat.
I think that was set pretty well.
On the surface, he seems like a whiny little brat, but pain in him.
Out of all the characters, I felt that was the best role.
There's no pain.
In painting
he's a very one-dimensional character.
Because he had a hard time distinguishing between the adult and the child.
You mistake his pain.
What's the difference between
for
two
his
of them?
His whininess? Yeah. It's disappointing.
Yeah, no, he's a very one-dimensional character. There's not a lot of depth there.
Built into it.
No, no. Austin is a very flat. Kind of cardboard sort of character.
But, of course, same could be said by the narrator.
Well, the narrator kind of captured you, too, right?
I don't think so.
Where's the spotlight? Get it on me. Oh, I need more attention. Wait,
with
do
the,
I...
With the 10-cent words.
Do I have enough lines, and are the words big enough?
Yep.
Okay, well, then I guess this is good. Look at me. I'm smart.
Smart.
I had to set the scene. I had to set the scene.
Yeah, the... There was a lot.
It's a visual medium, my friend.
The scene setting was a little heavy. Yeah, radio is traditionally known as a very heavy.
No, but it's the movie.
I still was missing
it's
my
it's
muse.
It's a radio play.
Like, no, it's more like a movie.
I still don't know what my muse was for the show.
Oh, you know what? It doesn't matter because he wrote them all flat. Right? There's no nuance in it at all.
There's some nuance.
Where?
In the
coruscating
narrator.
Lights.
In the narrator.
The narrator is
can
very
you tell us what page?
Complex, handsome, you know.
Which page?
Man,
you
right.
You
right.
put page numbers on the screen.
Yeah, I did not.
Smart, yeah, we had no idea what was going on with the page.
Yeah, I did. No, that was General Holiday. A smart, handsome, taller than average elf.
Yeah, but only barely taller than average, an elf.
Well, I can't exaggerate too much.
Right. Yeah.
So what are you thinking? Like a thumbs up?
I give it a thumbs up, but
thumbs
only
up.
Because I know you put a lot of
like
effort
a 9 out of 10, 9.5.
It's like a gentleman's thumbs up, you know?
I don't think I like that.
I appreciated that for the very first time, Scrooge was female.
Yes.
See, I mean, equality yes. does all kinds of things.
That's yep. right.
Yes, it does. We could be Scrooge.
That's so you're saying this is a not only a Christmas classic, but it's striking a blow for feminism.
Well,
I generally do that.
A blow.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah. I did not like the way it painted millennials.
I'll give it to it if I
never said
games.
I never said they were millennials. They are never referred to as millennials in the play. So
yeah,
if you are calling
they're
them millennials,
11 and 12 years old.
So
and but, they're set in the present.
She really yeah, was but, on her phone.
Mm,
she
sounds
really
like,
was.
Sounds
she
like
was
millennials.
Yeah. But millennials don't like labels.
So I'm just saying you've
yeah, millennials don't like labels.
You've made millennials into
I've heard millennials say that.
Who
yeah.
only
I'm a millennial. I don't like labels.
See?
Yep.
Kendra, I would never feel this way about
you. Thank you, Patrick.
I say,
no, I just sit here out of the good, do this out of the goodness of my heart.
You,
you
do.
Know,
I, but I felt
do
like
such
I captured
a good wait, job.
Right.
And
so millennials
why,
are
I don't
only
know,
cynical
Richard,
jerks.
Why are you here?
Ouch.
But Kendra's well, the
think
one that got
lost.
But, I mean, sorry, so, Addie is the one that got rewarded
right,
at the end. With
right.
Her new
but,
cell phone.
I do have my new cell phone.
And how
waiting
is
at home for me.
How is that Krampus Saves Christmas? That's really not typeset. Krampus Saves Christmas?
What do you mean saves Christmas?
And then Krampus saves Christmas.
He doesn't save Christmas. He teams up with Santa.
No,
it seems like Krampus saves Christmas to me.
I see.
What?
Yeah. Krampus is the hero.
Yeah.
Well,
he's like the Batman, yeah.
I replicated somehow, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
There are mini-me's.
I think the real hero. I think the real hero is Austin, because he lets everybody come to a realization about what Christmas is. What seems like his whining is really a sharing of enlightenment with Krampus.
No.
Krampus, you feel pain in your heart until Austin helps you see that there's better.
No, I feel like Krampus found...
Without Austin, you never would have found it.
I think Krampus found the true meaning of Christmas and saved
because
Christmas.
Because of Austin.
Because of Santa.
Oh, wait.
I think I always Christmas. Knew the true meaning of Christmas.
You mean merchandization, buying gifts for people that you don't need?
You're both talking at the same time. Yeah.
It makes for great radio when that happens.
Oh, this last segment has been brilliant.
No idea what you were
eight
saying.
Eight people talking at the same time.
Yeah.
Pat, go.
Good stuff.
Oh, no, I'm done.
Excellent. Good.
Maybe we should stop calling it the mashup and just call it people talking at the same time.
People talking. Could we do that? But we've got a brand already.
It's like comedians. But we've got the podcast.
Oh, we've
that.
Got a hashtag for the show today, Richard.
What?
People talking at the same time.
Oh, there you go. Is that a hashtag or is that the motto?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose the hashtag is going to be Dr. Hamilton wrote a really smart play.
All right, or just, you know, hashtag John of Christmas.
Check Instagram both of you at some point.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this presentation of the Mashup Christmas Special.